It is news with Nick. I had a double noodle in my throat. You know those Campbell's double noodle soups? I get them from my friends all the time, and I go, I will always give you the double noodle. Don't know what that means. December 12th, 2018. If you want to check out the video version of the show, head on over to the website, newswithnick.com, and click on the episode and watch the video version.
We each put a cookie between our butt cheeks. Then we race to the finish line. If you drop your cookie, you lose. Then the losers, a.k.a. you a-holes, will have to eat your cookies.
This seems very gay.
It's not gay! Stop saying that! Okay.
10 high school football players have been suspended for running across a football field naked with Oreo cookies perched between their buttocks, according to a report. All right. This is a story that has gone all over the place. And these idiots, everyone posting on the internet, just posts a generic photo of an Oreo and then goes, 10 students were suspended for running across a football field naked with Oreo cookies between their buttocks. Big whoop. Yeah. If you thought that I was so level one that I was going to report on this, you're right. I mean, I guess technically you're right. Here's how the late night news covers it. Is it, what is it, Seth Meyers? Is he a famous guy? He does this section of his show, apparently, where he just walks through different news stories for about 7 seconds per news story. And apparently you're supposed to think that that's funny. And then you go into work the next day and you go, oh, Jim, did you hear about those boys with the Oreos between their butts? What is wrong with people these days, right? America. But they don't really know what happened. All they know is Seth Meyers just said something about it. Let's see if we can pull up the clip.
A high school in Illinois recently suspended 10 players from its football team after they voluntarily participated in a so-called Oreo run where they stripped naked and ran across a field with Oreo cookies wedged in their buttocks. Said one teacher, who put these back in the break room?
Maybe this is a bit where he's supposed to be reading stuff really dumbly, right? Like, for all I know, that's the joke. Like, look at how dumb I can be. So, of course, we got to head over and we got to get the real news. I have the breaking news out of this school. But first, I don't understand the rules. Like, I feel like, is there a rule to how far up your buttocks you can put an Oreo cookie and then run with it? Because I feel like I could run pretty fast. The only problem is I can't find anywhere that I can run naked with an Oreo cookie in my butt. However, I'm thinking that maybe if we do it in the middle of the night, I could probably find like an abandoned road. And I'm just going to need someone like driving alongside me so that if there's an emergency, I can jump in to the vehicle and go. The Oreo cops are here. Because I feel like that's not that hard. Or is it because the cream in the cookie will like as the cookie sides rub back and forth, right? Is the cream just going to ooze out and make it like slick and make the cookies fall out? Or wouldn't it crumble? Like how much of the cookie still has to be intact by the time you reach the finish line before you're not gay? I don't know. I would like to know, and I'm going to need a thing of Oreos, and I'm going to need to test how fast I can run the 200-meter dash or whatever with them. This is from the Byron Athletic Department, directly from the school. On Thursday, November 8th, 2018, the Byron School District was informed of a possible situation concerning some of the players in the Byron football program. Your son's name was brought forward as a possible connection to the situation in question. During the investigation, insert student name here, admitted to voluntarily participating in an event on October 26th. He admitted to running across the football field without his clothes while carrying an Oreo cookie between his buttocks. This action is a violation of the Byron High School Policy 7240 Code of Conduct for participants in extracurricular activities. Insert student's name here, was notified of this violation and consequence on Friday, November 9th. A phone call was also made to ensure you are aware of the situation. This violation can be found in the Athletic Code of Conduct under Prohibited Student Conduct Indecent Exposure, First Offense. The activity members will be suspended for one-third of the regular season contest, games, events, etc. If less than one-third of a season remains at the time of the offense, the member will be assessed a leftover portion of the disciplinary action at the time of his or her next membership in an activity. So I guess, like, if you got suspended, you should probably join an activity real quick and then use up your suspension on that. It's like, I'm in the chess club. I'm in the chess club. And then they're like, well, too bad, you're suspended from it. And they're like, ah, oh, crap. But then you can still play the rest of the football season, right? No, I don't think that would work. Anyway, point is, they get this letter, and then it just goes everywhere to every news outlet, and all they do is write, 10 students suspended for running with Oreos in their butt, which is funny AF, but the news is a ShamWow, and we all know that. Michael Cohen has been convicted, and he has been sentenced today to 3 years in jail. Now, I don't know who this is. Let's find out.
Cooperating, why did Michael Cohen still get 3 years?
Well, Brianna, it was a very emotional day inside the courtroom here. And, you know, one of the issues that the judge said when he was laying out this sentence, he told Cohen that, you know, that the crimes that he committed and the seriousness of these offenses, you know, the sentence should be amplified because of that. And so he said, you know, it was really important to give him a sentence that reflected the seriousness of these crimes, as well as reflect the importance of obeying the law. So the judge took a fairly stern tone here, despite after hearing from the special counsel's office saying that Cohen had been helpful to them, you know, cooperative, and providing them information that was core to their mission, which is, of course, investigating Russia's interference in the election. But
okay, so Michael Cohen, a lawyer for Donald Trump, in the fall of 2016, adult film actress Stephanie Clifford, better known by her stage name Stormy Daniels, was speaking to some reporters about her allegation that she had a sexual affair with Trump in 2006. In October, Cohen and her attorney negotiated a non-disclosure agreement under which she was paid $130,000 for her silence. Cohen created a Delaware limited liability company called Essential Consultants. So Michael Cohen, the lawyer, is like, you know what? I don't want this coming out of my pocket. Let's make a company, and we'll say that they're consultants. Yeah, you can't disprove that. Yeah, we're consultants, and we're called, are we non-essential, or are we essential? No, we are definitely essential consultants. The arrangement was publicly revealed by the Wall Street Journal in January 2018. So, this lawyer for Donald Trump was doing a bunch of money running around in these shell corporations, including giving the money to Stormy Daniels. That's not the only thing he did, apparently. I guess he accepted contributions from other big corporations and some foreign companies or governments, I think, ran them through the shell corporations. And then allegedly, maybe, made it so that Donald Trump would be nicer to those companies that paid the extra money, right? And, of course, the Stormy Daniels story is, like, the biggest one because she's a sexy, right? So we want to hear about that. And I want to think of nothing else than Donald Trump and Stormy Daniels going, I mean, Stormy Daniels might be doing that. Anyway, the point is, he's now been sentenced to 3 years in jail for moving this money around in a way that the government doesn't like, right? And it's kind of like, well, if he did that, and Trump probably knew about it, like, that looks pretty bad for Trump, right? It's kind of like when Tom Brady's balls got deflated. And he was like, no, it was the ball boys. It wasn't me. And they were like, it was definitely you. You told them to. And he's like, fine. Right? So Trump's like Tom Brady. And Michael Cohen's like the ball boy. So I guess we will see what happens. On the other hand, everyone on the internet's like, ooh, Trump is in big trouble. He's going to be arrested and sent to jail soon. Right? It seems like presidents get away with a lot. Let's be honest. That George H.W. Bush just died, and everyone loved him as soon as he died, right? But everyone hated him when he wasn't dead. And people don't normally like the first Bush either. Or sorry, the second Bush. They're like, oh, he sent us to Iraq on lies. And that should be a crime, right? But he's not in jail either. So what are you going to do? Put Trump in jail for some money moving around and rigging the election? I don't know. Maybe. We'll find out, I guess. This week I had a little pop-up on my screen that said, hey, a whole bunch of people have commented on this video called Vermont Police Search Car and Find Nothing. What? Do you want to go look at the comments, right? They just alert you if people have commented on your video. I said, wow, there's been a lot of people commenting on this video. Here's what the video is.
I think I'm being arrested.
Again, Andrew refused a search.
This is a video of Andrew in 2009 sitting in a cop car with a state trooper, and he gets searched.
If there are charges here, I'm going to need a copy of that. Whatever it is, digital download or whatever. So, because just like you get a copy of our recordings, we get a copy of your recordings.
All right, Andrew. This is the consent card, okay? This is when probable cause exists and I intend to apply for a search warrant. You decided to choose to give consent versus me seizing the car and applying for a warrant, correct?
Correct. Okay, so the state trooper has brought a dog out. Probably everyone who has followed the show has heard of this story, but this is crazy. He brings a dog out. He says, the dog alerted to your car. In Vermont, that's probable cause for me to seize the car and apply for a warrant to complete the search. So Trooper Studen says, well, you've got two choices here. I'm going to take your car and apply for a warrant. We're going to tow it to the barracks. Or you can let me search it right here in this parking lot. What do you want? So Andrew eventually says, well, those are two horrible choices, so search it here. And now Studen says, fill out the form that says you're agreeing to have me search the car and you're not under duress or threat, right?
Correct. I freely give my permission to Trooper Student, again, that's who I am, to conduct a complete search of the items listed above and their contents. I understand I do not have to allow this. No threats or promises have forced this consent. Do you agree with that?
I don't agree with the threats, that no threats have been forced.
Okay, well, if you feel threatened or coerced, then this is not consensual anymore. And I'm just going to... for a warrant.
The thing is, you're threatening to take my car if I don't
search it. No. It's not a threat. You have two choices here. Okay, the law says that you have two choices. Okay, you can either allow a search voluntarily, but again, that search has to... Your consent has to be willing and voluntary. You can't feel like it's being coerced. So the alternative to that, it's not a threat. It's an alternative.
It's not a threat. It's an alternative.
I will apply for a warrant.
Well, I don't like the alternative.
Well,
that... is an amazing quote. This is not a threat, little lady in my basement. This is an alternative. So he spends 2.5 hours searching the car, right? He finds a little bit of dirt in the car. And he holds it up. Actually, there's no point in playing the audio because it's almost inaudible. But he holds it up and he says, bring the test kit over. Let's do this. And he throws the dirt in the test kit and it turns up nothing. They search his socks and shoes, right? They pull out a blanket. Andrew's sitting in the cop car this whole time.
I sure like that girly blanket.
They're sitting in this cop car the whole time. One of the best videos we've ever done, by the way. Anyway, point of the story is, the reason I'm bringing this up is that this week, all of a sudden, I normally average like 50 to 60 views a day on this video, which is still pretty good for a video. And this week, for whatever reason, it spiked to 1,800 views in a day, and now it looks like it's down the downtrend again. So I don't know how YouTube's algorithm works, but they decided for whatever reason that this video of Andrew in a cop car from 2009 is suddenly relevant to people. Or what could have happened is like another related video got popular, and then people click the suggested videos on it, which it says 91% of the views have come from the suggested videos link. So good work me. So I went to Pittsburgh this past month, right? And the whole way there, I'm like, as I was getting ready to travel, I'm like, I need another phone charger to get there. Like one of those mini USBs, micro USBs, right? And you go into Walmart and they're like, minimum $4.99. Usually they're like $9.99 for this cable. I go to the dollar store, they're a dollar. And I go, that makes no sense. Why would a dollar store cable work? So I go, there's no reason this would work. I'm going to buy it. So I buy it and I plug it in and it works perfectly fine. Like, what does anyone know what the downside is of buying the dollar store charger versus the Walmart charger, which is way more expensive? Is the dollar store one just more likely to break or something, or do less little volties go through it in a given time period? Because I don't know. Also, I was at the gym the other day, and you have these little paper towels that you have to wipe down the equipment with. And so I have my used paper towel, and I throw it to go into the trash can. And of course, it goes in perfectly, right? So I go, ooh, that went in. And I look around. Like, everyone's done this when you do something cool, and then you look around to see who saw. And no one saw, I thought, until I saw little Chubbs girl all the way across doing the ab workout, and I think she saw. So I yelled, that went in! And then I went into the locker room. Speaking of things that I wish people didn't see, as you know, I went to Pittsburgh, stayed at Andrew's house for several days. He's got some property that is about a mile and a half, 2 miles outside of the city. And that whole way, it is a run downhill to get into the city and a run uphill to get out of the city. So I ran that about 3 times. That was fun. I think we covered most of our trip on the actual show. Anyway, so Tuesday comes, and I'm like, I'm headed to Michigan now. We're going to do Thanksgiving in Michigan. So as I'm going to Michigan, I'd left a little bit ahead of schedule. And after I stop at one of those get-goes with the touchscreen for one last time where you can order the most food possible, by the way, like, I guess every place has gas stations like this, except for where I live. This is amazing because no one can judge you for how much food you're adding to your burrito. It's like you can just keep adding. Like, do you want more tater tots on your burrito? Yes. So you just keep pressing it. Like infinity times, and it just keeps charging you. Yeah, but who's going to judge, right? There's no one to judge. I mean, someone's making your burrito, but it's not like you're standing behind a counter and you're talking to someone and you're going, I'd like a burrito, add some peppers, add some tater tots, add some more tater tots, add some hot sauce, right? That is a pain. And it's especially a pain if you're talking to a Panera girl and she can't talk, but she's not deaf, but you think she's deaf, so you sign to her as well. Call back to when I did that. Okay, what was I saying? Right, so yeah, you can order as much as you want. Anyway, so I'm driving. I'm a little ahead of schedule, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to stop somewhere, and I'm going to do a little look around. You know where I've never stopped? Cleveland. Everyone hates Cleveland, except for Drew Carey. They've got the Browns. They suck. They've got the Cavaliers. They suck. And they're named Cleveland. And they're brown. Right? No one likes them. So anyway, I'm a little ahead of schedule. I'll head into Cleveland and I'll find a parking spot and I'll just do a quick walk around. What's the harm? It's part of the country. I'm in the part of the country. I should check it out. So I take this little exit here off Route 77. And as I'm heading down the off-ramp, all of a sudden, my tires decide that they're not, deciding to have any grip on the road anymore. And it's wet, but it's not snowy. And it's not supposed to be icy. It's like 40 out. Needless to say, I start sliding, right? I'm like, whoa, I have no control over the car. I feel like I'm on snow or like I'm hydroplaning. But I know I'm not, but I was just very surprised that this was occurring. And had I been a better driver, I'd be like, oh, I'm sliding. I should turn the wheel the other direction and stop sliding. So I don't do that. I don't think I do that. Like, I don't really remember. But it's a right turn off ramp, and I've got the Google Maps up on the video version of the show if anyone wants to see. And it's not that dramatic of a turn. It's just a normal curve. So I'm not going super fast, but I'm not going super slow either. Well, all of a sudden, whatever reason, the back end of the car decides it has no grip anymore. So I start turning way quicker than I should be to the right. And now I'm looking at the guardrail and I'm going, ooh, I'm sliding. Don't hit the front. Don't hit the front. Okay, don't hit the front. Sweet. Great. I keep spinning the rest of the way. I'm 180 and then I'm 270 and the car's coming to a stop. And unfortunately, I back the left back end into the guardrail and it hits. And I go, ooh, because I almost got out of it. Like I almost did the full spin and it hit nothing, but it hit the back left. And then I go, ooh, my first thought is, ooh, that was embarrassing. I hope no one saw that. So I look around, and then next thing I know, coming from my left, a minivan sliding sideways down the same off ramp, heading straight for me. So I gun it a little bit and try to pull my car forward. Turns out she crashes sort of like here. And wait, is this even the right off ramp? What if I did this entire bit and I didn't even have the right off ramp on the screen? Anyway, yeah, because I pulled over to here, right past the guardrail. So she crashes in like this section, hits her front right on the guardrail. But by that time, I'd already started moving because I didn't know how far her minivan was going to come. And I simultaneously was thinking, oh man, it's going to be like one of those YouTube videos where everyone hits the same patch of slippery road and crashes all, and we're going to have a huge pile up here. And it's going to be me that caused it, or started it at least. So I pull off the side. I get out, and I check on this girl, and her minivan is crushed. Like, the whole front end is crushed in. And I'm like, whoa, did you crash because, like, you were scared of hitting me or something? But she wasn't, like, right on my tail. Anyone who was a safe distance behind me should have been able to slow down and not crash. So she's like, no, had nothing to do with you. I just slid and I crashed, right? So now we're both pulled over on the side of the road. I'm looking at my bumper. It's kind of fallen off, and like the styrofoam is coming out and the light is crushed a bit. But anyway, I check on her. She's fine. We both make phone calls to whoever and say, hey, we're going to be delayed for wherever we're going. And so we talk for a bit, and she's like, I'm going to call the police. And I go, well, let me just finish up like putting stuff back together on my car, and then you can call the police. Because I'm just going to go, I think. Because there was nothing really wrong with the car. It was crashed, but I could still drive it. So as I'm trying to, like, I'd pop the hood. I popped the trunk stupidly to put some of the stuff that had fallen off the car into the trunk. And then as I tried to close the trunk did not close. So now I've got an open trunk in addition to my other problems, like a falling off bumper, right? So as I'm trying to get the jumper cables out of my car to clamp them onto the trunk to hold it down, the cops show up. And so it's probably better that I wasn't caught, like, driving away from a crash, because they would probably say you left the scene of an accident, even though I like literally kind of only bumped my bumper. I didn't do any damage to the guardrail, right? So the cops come, they go, what happened here? And we both say we crashed separately. And they go, really? You didn't hit? And they couldn't believe it, that we had crashed separately. Like, yeah. So one cop takes me, one cop takes the next girl. Fortunately, it looks like in Ohio, they can't see my criminal history. So they didn't do anything like sobriety test me, which it wouldn't have been a problem. However, it would have been annoying, right? So they didn't sobriety test me. He writes up a little police report. And then he says, oh, by the way, I have to give you a citation for failure to control, which is an Ohio law. That if you spin out, even if it's on like sheer ice, which I'm not saying that I spun out on sheer ice. I clearly crashed, and a lot of people didn't crash, so I'm the one that sucks. But even if you crashed on sheer ice, they can still cite you for failure to control. Anyway, so he gives me that, And I'm like, you're going to let me drive away like this? And he says, no, well, actually, yeah, you're fine. So the whole light is smashed. He's like, you need some tape. Like, it has to be red. And the bumper's kind of falling off. But I tested the lights, and they pretty much all worked, and my blinker worked. It's just that the shield that goes, the housing itself was smashed. So I'm like, okay, bye. So I Google Maps to a Napa. I drive the broken car, bumper falling off, to the Napa, and I buy a bunch of zip ties and like a cutter for zip ties and a bunch of lens tape that's red, and I do up the car, literally laying on the side of the road in Cleveland outside of a Napa, zip tying my car together, zip tying the trunk closed, and taping up my taillight. And here's what it looks like right after I got out of the Napa. So you can see the tape here. That makes it legal, apparently. You can see the lights are not in alignment, but they are just taillights, right? Like, they don't have to be pointed in a specific direction like headlights. And you can see that the bumper is sort of falling off here. And that the trunk is smashed. So, I finished the rest of the drive to Michigan. And I spend the rest of the weekend there. I replaced one bulb while I was there, because it looks like one of them died. And then I drove 800 miles back to stupid New Hampshire. All the way, no problems. Right? No cops, no nothing. Nobody cared. Apparently the light is completely legal, just holding, being held on with red tape. So, 2 days later, get pulled over. Get pulled over, and the cop says, you have, your plate lights are out too. I'm like, oh, okay, I didn't even notice. I didn't even know that they probably broke in the crash as well. He's like, okay. Oh, by the way, why is your license on probation? Because in New Hampshire, they can see. And I go, okay, it was the DUI from earlier this year. And he goes, oh, was it at that house up the road here? He's like, I was there. I was like the backup cop. I'm like, oh, great. Well, hi again. So, no problems there. He doesn't do anything. Anyway, back to the failure to control thing. This is not a big deal. In Ohio, it's like the level of a speeding ticket, right? 2 points on your license, and then they report it back to New Hampshire. And your insurance. Why is this a problem? It's probably not. But why did I think it's a problem? Because in New Hampshire, after a year of being sentenced for a DUI, you can petition the court to reduce your criminal record from a Class B misdemeanor to a violation. So you're no longer technically a criminal. However, of course, they're going to look at your record. And the last thing I need is on my record me crashing somewhere, right? So, like, what would I do? Do I drive back? Do I just plead not guilty and drive back to stupid Cleveland and deal with this? And that seems stupid. And I'm looking up reviews of the Cleveland municipal court system, and they are awful. Like, it sounds like they're awful to deal with, and they got nothing in order. Anyway, so I look online, like, huh, can I do a traffic lawyer? And I contact a traffic lawyer, and he goes, sure, $450. And I go, well, the fine is $200. The fine plus the fine, including the court fees, is $200. The fine is actually only $55, and the court fees are $141. That's Cleveland for you, apparently. I'm never going back there again, by the way. Anyway, unfortunately, I can't skip Ohio because I can't go to, if I'm driving to Michigan, I can't go to Canada. So now I either have to go to Ohio or Canada. Anyway, he's like, $450. I'll argue it down. We'll get it reduced probably to, a broken taillight. And I go, ooh, that sounds great, because my taillight was definitely broken after I crashed. So we should do that. So he's like, yeah, sure. Send the money. Send it to my Gmail at mytrialguy@gmail.com. And I go, oh, no. Oh, no. You know you're in good hands with mytrialguy@gmail.com, I'm thinking. So needless to say, I send him $450, right? I'm like, well, Worst case scenario, I did it for the show to find out what, in fact, you can accomplish by paying a man $450 to handle your traffic ticket. Now, this guy had to go into court and plead, first of all, at an arraignment. He tried to argue it down to not guilty. Then he had to go back to court on the trial date of December 10th, and he had to plead with the prosecutor again to get it knocked down. This guy for $450 did more work than my $2,500 DUI lawyer, I'm pretty sure. So, I don't know. Because my DUI lawyer basically said, I know the prosecutor. We'll get it sorted out. Just plead guilty. And yeah, I got a fine deal on that situation. So maybe I was just paying for the fact that the prosecutor liked him. Who knows? We'll never know. Anyway, he pleads it down to a unsafe vehicle, 0 points. I'm scot-free. New Hampshire will never know. And I will. I still have no additional record because I paid a lawyer $450. Oh, and the fine for unsafe vehicle. I'm not sure what the actual violation. I don't think they're claiming like, broken bumper. They're just saying unsafe vehicle, quote unquote. Guess what the fine is for that? $100 more. $100 more than the other fine. So no points, no record, but $100 more. Anyway, now I've ordered a new light. I got the new light in. And at first I was like, this is going to be super easy. I just got to pop the old light out, put the old new light in. This isn't the first time I've crashed and broken a light. Trust me. I've taken them out before and put them in before. However, this socket was crushed. Like, you can't just pull an eyeball out of a crushed socket and put a new eyeball in and it just goes right in. No. These bolt holes are not aligned at all. So there's supposed to be 4 bolts holding the light in. There is 1 bolt and 2 zip ties holding my tail light in now. But we'll see. I don't think that's going to pass inspection. We have a show update. This is a story that's been going on for 3 years now. I've been wondering when Timothy Madden is going to go to trial, and so is Gabby Doolin's parents.
Doolin's death. She was kidnapped, raped, and murdered during her brother's football game at Allen County High School in 2015. Our Dalton Godby sat down with Gabby's parents in an exclusive interview as they reflected on an extremely difficult past 3 years.
The old saying, time heals all wounds. I don't believe that, not when it comes to losing a child.
Time cannot bring back a life that was taken far too soon.
That beautiful little blonde-haired girl was full of life, and her life was cut short.
It's been 3 years since Brian and Amy Doolin lost their pride and joy. Gabby.
It's just the constant thought of missing her. And she was always happy-go-lucky, you know, and always smiling. And I don't know, most time it's just...
All right, so Gabby Doolin was kidnapped and murdered, and we don't know by who, but the person in custody is Timothy Madden. And I've been covering this for 3 years, and I've been like, when will Timothy Madden be tried? Because I want to see what happens. Because the whole argument came down to, like, he brushed up against a trash can and there was blood on his coat or something. No one saw him do it. There's no witnesses. They're just like, it's Timothy Madden. He must have killed her. Maybe he did. I don't know. I just want to see how it works itself out. And it's interesting that this month there were a couple news stories saying, it's been 3 years. Where's the trial? And part of the delay is that Timothy Madden's defense lawyer got dismissed from the case, and the prosecutor is an elected position, and the prosecutor got voted out. So everyone keeps switching around, and the court system can't get their stuff sorted out. Student made social media threat to kill an FAU professor, the cops say. A Florida Atlantic University student is accused of making a social media threat to kill one of his professors because of an early morning exam. Rafael DeComas is 20, and he was booked into the Palm County Beach Jail. He said the investigation began Tuesday after a threat appeared on Twitter just about 1 p.m. I've got the arrest report. So they say that there's a lot of news stories that are weird that come out of Florida. And people go, oh, LOL, Florida, everyone's weird there. And then everyone else goes, no, 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 it's because the arrest reports are really easy to get your hands on because of the Sunshine Law, they call it. That is 100% true. All you have to do, if you're a news writer, look at the Florida arrest reports. If you see something funny, get a funny picture of some Oreos, stick it on a website, write a funny headline, and you have a story for doing nothing. Remember back when reporters had to be in the field? They had to search for sources. They had to get interviews. They had to stand in a hurricane going, oh, the hurricane is blowing me. Oh, yeah. The hurricane is blowing me. Its name is Stormy. On Tuesday, November 27th, 2018, this is the arrest report. At approximately 1330 hours, I was made aware of a concerning Twitter post published on November 27th, 2018, at approximately 1311 hours, so 19 minutes ago. The Twitter account Cutie Claws posted. Okay, I'm not sure how to translate this over audio. I'm going to do my best. The Twitter account posted, Bay Igern fucking killed this professor, Bay. This is my confession to a premeditated murder. Shortly after it was published, I began my investigation. What? What? That's not a threat. Bay Igern, G-E-R-N, fucking killed this professor, Bay. This is my confession to a premeditated murder. That was a tweet. If you tweet that, you will be charged with a Class B felony. I could tweet it right now. I guess you probably shouldn't say confession to premeditated murder. That's a little inflammatory and like, ooh, premeditated murder. That's level one. No, murder one, homicide one, first degree. That's the word I was looking for. The identity of the person who posted the above post was not immediately known. However, further investigation of the above Twitter profile revealed that the individual was associated with the Caribbean Student Association. On the FAU CSA Instagram profile, there was a Google form where all the members were listed. I cross-referenced all of the names through the FAU database and was able to correlate the pictures and information provided to obtain the identity of the person who is associated with the above Twitter account, who is Rafael de Comas, and I arrested him. On Wednesday, the 28th of whatever, I made a telephone call. Oh, sorry. Oh, no, sorry. It just says arrested in parentheses. It doesn't say he was arrested at that moment. Okay, on Wednesday, the 28th, which is the day after the Twitter account, the cop made telephone contact with him and requested he voluntarily come to the FAU Police Department to discuss and matter. I think they mean discuss the matter. At approximately 3:30. De Comas arrived at the police department as arranged. I then conducted a sworn recorded interview. I read his Miranda warning from a pre-printed form, which he acknowledged and signed that he understood. Never do that. When I was arrested, the cop said, I'm going to read you your Miranda rights. I said, thank you. He did. And he said, now that I've read that, do you want to answer any questions? And I said, no. And he said, fine. And we sat there in silence, staring at each other for an hour. When I asked him if he had used any social media accounts, he was initially hesitant to provide his Twitter profile name. Yeah, don't say things. However, he later provided his Twitter profile name. It should be noted, Twitter is a social media website that users interact by posting messages known as tweets. When I asked him if he had tweeted any posts in the last 48 hours that would prompt law enforcement officials to meet with him, he advised that he knew what post I was referring to. When I asked him to be specific, he stated that on his Twitter account, he created a post stating, Boy, I earned premeditated murder. When I asked DeKumas why he created such a post, he advised that he was only reacting to the news that his final exam for data structures was scheduled for 7 a.m. He advised that he was upset at the news since he lives in Riviera Beach and would need to wake up at 5 a.m. He said he did not intend to harm anyone, and he tweeted the post out of frustration. He advised that he had deleted the post soon after he published it. Based on the above stated facts, I have probable cause to charge DeCumas with written threats to kill or do bodily injury per Florida Statute 83610. There he is. Class B felony for tweeting, "Boy, I gurn kill this professor. Meditative mode." Don't do it, boys. Girls. So we're going to follow this story, see if this case gets dropped or what, because that is insane. This is a kid in college, right? Sure. He can't type. He's got no spelling. I don't understand how he's in a data structures final, because that is like computer science and you need to know what you're doing. But I guess maybe you don't need to know English. You just need to know computer things. However, I don't think he needs to be charged with a Class B felony, but whatever. Guess we'll see what happens. See what the chat's saying. Is it difficult for Americans to read? I've also seen PewDiePie and Tim Pool not be able to read. Is it because, are you saying that I can't read? Is the chat saying that I cannot read? Isn't there a video game about Timothy Madden? Yeah. It's called Madden 19, and you walk into a Madden 19 tournament and shoot the winners of the tournament from the doorway. Yes, you read arrested as I arrested him. Oh, yeah, I try when I'm trying to read something, I, in my brain, translate it to make it sound better to the audience. Like, I didn't read the guy's last name every single time I read the arrest report. I said he and his. I substituted words, and sometimes I get the wrong, when I'm doing the translation, I get the wrong meaning to them. Because I don't want to sound like I'm reading. I want to sound like I'm having a conversation with the audience and reporting the information. Officials at a preschool in Hawaii have apologized after young children were given Pine Sol instead of apple juice to drink during a morning snack time. A mix-up that health officials said occurred because the two liquids were the same color. Here's the official report. The complaint says that on November 27th, 2018... Wait, is this the exact same day that Bay I Gonna Kill This Professor came out? It may very well be. Let's see. Yeah, the 27th of November. It was the Pine Sol that caused this whole thing. On 27th of November, the preschool director notified parents that a child was served Pine Sol, accidentally mistaken for apple juice because it was the same color. The findings of the report are such that... Spoke to the director about the complaint and events leading up to the incident. She stated the morning snacks were being prepared by the classroom assistant in the kitchen. The snacks consisted of dry crackers and juice. Do you remember when you guys were in like daycare or, I don't know, preschool or whatever? You're like, it's snack time. Here's your snack. It's two Cheez-Its. And you're like, what? What are we, poor? Or you're just trying to keep me busy, but this isn't even going to keep me busy. The most trouble I ever got in childcare, was when I went to throw away three goldfish. And they said, Nick, don't throw away those three goldfish because there's not a trash bag in the trash can yet. And they said, okay, Naomi, go get a trash bag for the trash bin. So Naomi goes. 5 minutes later, she's not back. How long does it take to get a trash bag for the trash bin? I throw the goldfish away. Anyway, in trouble immediately. I mean, they were right. I shouldn't have, like, that was obvious. Like, I shouldn't have done that. I should have put them on a table or something and been like, Naomi, let me help you get the trash bag. Anyway. The snacks consisted of dry crackers and juice. The assistant saw the yellow/brown-colored liquid container on a cleanup cart in the kitchen and returned to the classroom with the crackers and container with liquid. The assistant poured the liquid into cups as the classroom teacher oversaw the students at the restroom. Okay, so the kids go out to the hallway. I gotta go to the bathroom. Main teacher brings them to the bathroom. The assistant's filling out the snacks, putting those little crackers on the napkin, and pouring a little bit of apple juice into these cups, except it was not apple juice, apparently. The classroom teacher smelled that it was not apple juice and stopped the students from drinking it. Liquid was in the original Pine Sol container and properly labeled. So what does Pine Sol look like? Pine Sol. I'm just going to do an image search. Yeah, it just looks like, just says Pine Sol real big on it. So maybe the assistant couldn't read, right? Maybe she's American, just like the chat says. The liquid was in the original Pine Sol container. The cart had no food items on it. A rubbish can and cleaning supplies are stored on this cart. So it was literally like a janitor's cart. And she's like, huh, that must be the apple juice. The cleaning supplies are stored below the kitchen sink and in the janitor's room. All the food items in the kitchen are properly stored and labeled in the kitchen cabinets. See pictures, see attached pictures. And there are no attached pictures to the document that I was able to obtain, I don't think. Maybe I'll click download and see what happens. Uh-oh, now it's just a spinning progress bar that really means nothing. If you're in programming, you know this. You just put a loading icon so that the user thinks something is happening and there really is nothing happening. As you can see here, I've definitely done that. So anyway, but you can see how people get this mixed up. Here's a picture that I found of some windshield wiper fluid. It's in a 2-liter bottle. It says tropical. It's fruity blue. And it says windshield cleaner, ready to use. And if you pulled this off the shelf in Walmart, you would probably pour it directly into a cup. Pour some, what do people mix? Pour some rum, some tequila, whatever people drink with into that. And you'd be, you wouldn't even know the difference because you're like, oh man, that's strong. But it's just windshield washer fluid. Anyway, if you're not on the video version, this makes no sense. This is a crazy, upsetting story. Man arrested for randomly pushing another man under a truck in downtown Los Angeles. Ooh. The victim was left in critical condition with a collapsed lung and broken bones after being pushed into the street and run over by a truck in the apparently random attack. Now, I saw the video and we're going to watch it. He was not run over. Firefighters saw the video run on ABC7 and recognized the suspect. Less than an hour later, they spotted him near Hill and 3rd Streets in downtown and called 911. So he's been taken into custody. However, here's the video. So it's this crazy guy. He's sitting on a bench. And it seems like every person he walks by, he gets a little jumpy towards. But randomly, there's this old man in a business suit. And he just pushes him. Oh, I wonder if he timed it to die. So he pushes him in front of a huge semi-truck, and he gets hit with the wheel, but he doesn't get run over. However, he's still alive, and he's kicking, and he's like, I'm stuck under the wheel, and the idiot semi-truck driver doesn't... Did you guys see me touching my chest on the cam? Because that's embarrassing. The semi-truck driver doesn't back up immediately. I guess if you didn't know if you ran him over or not, you wouldn't want to back up, right? Because if you think you ran him over, if you back up again, he's dead.
I was so shocked. Oops. I felt so bad for him. I couldn't believe somebody can do that to a poor innocent guy just walking on the street.
The suspect did flee from the location. He's described as a male, white.
We have no evidence that man was innocent. That old man could have been a drug runner, and that homeless man could have been a hired hitman, right? So we don't know that. However, it didn't work. He's not dead. But he was stuck under a truck tire for a couple seconds. That was rough. An Ohio man was arrested on charges that he attempted to support the Islamic State by planning an attack on a synagogue in Toledo after the Pittsburgh massacre. This was big news this week. Damon Joseph of Holland, Ohio, he was arrested Friday and charged with one count of attempting to provide material support to the Islamic State. That's a charge? Like, not just... not just helping the terrorists, charged with one count of providing material support to the Islamic State. The case began after Joseph posted photographs of weapons and messages in support of the Islamic State on his social media accounts. According to a news release, undercover FBI agents began corresponding with Joseph. In some of these discussions, Joseph said he supported the Islamic State and made propaganda in support of ISIS recruitment. Uh-oh, I should have really read this report before we, you know what? Let's just read the report. We're just going to jump right in. We're going to read the report rather than reading the news story. Damon Joseph was allegedly inspired by ISIS's call to violence and hate. He planned to attack the victims based on their religion at a Toledo area synagogue in the name of ISIS and hoped that it would lead to the deaths of many and spread fear. His alleged actions would be an assault on the liberties and respect for humanity we hold so dear. We will continue to make every effort to prevent such attacks from occurring. Let's see. So in 2018, he drew the attention of law enforcement by posting photographs of weapons and various messages. This activity led to multiple interactions between Joseph and undercover FBI agents. So this is what happens, right? You start posting some weird stuff on YouTube, on Facebook, on Instagram. You start posting some weird things. Maybe there's a little swastika going on. Your friends will start coming out of the woodwork. They will go, hey, how do you like those Jews? And you go, no, I don't like the Jews. During his communication with undercover agents, Joseph stated his support for ISIS and produced propaganda in support of ISIS recruitment. In September, he made videos that he sent to the undercover agent, hoping they would be used to recruit people to ISIS. He also complained that the mosque he attended was critical of ISIS. Wait, why? He complained that a mosque was critical of ISIS? Joseph stated his support for violent attacks and operations. For example, on October 21st, he expressed support for martyrdom operations and stated, "What must be done must be done. There will always be casualties of war." I'm curious, like, how they're communicating. Are they doing just, like, Facebook Messenger or something? All right. On October 30th, Joseph and the undercover officer communicated regarding the mass shooting at the Jewish synagogue, which we covered on this show, which was in Pittsburgh. Joseph stated, "I admire what the guy did with the shooting, actually. I can see myself carrying out this type of operation. They wouldn't even expect an attack in my area." Over the next few weeks, he continued stating he wanted to participate in an attack on behalf of ISIS. On December 2nd, he forwarded a document. He laid out his plans for the attack. He sent this to the FBI. In the document, he described plans to attack where the greatest number of people are gathered, inflict the most casualties during the attack, and make sure no one escaped. First of all, they always escape, except for, they pretty much always have some escapees. Except for that guy who locked himself in the cockpit of the plane and crashed into a mountain. There were no escapees from that one. Let's see. Joseph met with an undercover FBI agent and discussed conducting a mass shooting at a synagogue. So he literally met the person in person. So the FBI is like, you know what? I'm on board. Let's do it. Let's meet. I lost my spot. He identified two synagogues. He made written notes about the firearms he wanted and provided them to the undercover agent, stating he wanted AR-15s, AK-47s, Glocks, and ammunition. On the 6th of December, he met with the undercover agent in Toledo area and stated it would be ideal to attack two synagogues, but it was probably more realistic to attack only one. He also stated specifically that he wanted to kill a rabbi. Okay, that'd be like, it's like the boss Jew. After you get through all the smaller Jews, you get to the boss, you got to get him down, right? Oh my goodness. Later that day, the undercover agent told Joseph that he purchased rifles for the attack. The two met on the 7th. So this is moving very quickly. Like every day, there's something going on. At a predetermined location, Joseph took a black duffel bag containing two semi-automatic rifles, which had been rendered inoperable by the FBI, so they posed no danger. And then they immediately charged him with the terrorism thing. And at the end of the report, it says, "A charge is merely an allegation, and the defendant is presumed innocent until proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt in a court of law." So what happens is you got these sick people, the anti-Jew guy, he's clearly insane, and then you got these other people on the internet that message him, right? "Hey, I saw that picture of the ISIS flag. What do you think of that?" They don't go, "Hey, let's get you some mental help." They go, "Hey, wouldn't you like to kill a ton of Jews? Here's some rifles." And yeah, he went along with it. He's guilty of going along with it, allegedly, after he's proven in a court of law. But they could have equally gone, "Hey, here, this looks like a crazy person. This looks like a person going down a bad path. Let's help him." and get him not to go down the bad path. Instead, they say, how about let's go down the bad path? Here's some rifles. Oh, just kidding. You're arrested. Right? This whole thing started, they said, after they started talking online, and it escalated from there. It's not like he was already... He wanted to, but he didn't... I don't know. You know what I'm saying. It's interesting, right? Final story of the night. Southwest gate agent mocks a five-year-old girl's name, posting the boarding pass on social media.
Your hands can do incredible things.
This is the part we edit out. There's peppers being cut in the ad. I don't know why I get ads still, because sometimes I got ad blocker and it doesn't work. This is an ad for GoDaddy. GoDaddy.com.
For a Texas woman and her five-year-old daughter, Southwest Airlines flight home turned into a social media nightmare. Tracy Redford says her daughter's unique name caught the attention of a Southwest Airlines gate agent. This is Absidy, but her name is spelled A-B-C-D-E.
The gate agent started mocking my child's name, laughing, pointing at me and my daughter, talking to other employees. So I turned around and just said, like, hey, I can hear you, so if I can hear you, my daughter can too. Like, I'd appreciate if you just... stop.
Redford was catching a flight home to El Paso, Texas a few weeks ago from John Wayne Airport in Orange County. Absidy lives with epilepsy, so the Redfords always pre-board.
While I was sitting there, she took a picture of my...
Wait. Just because you have epilepsy means you can pre-board? Why? Getting on the plane quicker is going to make you less likely to have a siege? It should make you more likely to have a siege. Because you're like, I've been on this plane way longer!
Boarding pass? And chose to post it on social media.
Her name is ABCDE Redford. I just imagine the gate agent is just doing this.
ABCD. ABCD.
It's E, dear. ABCDE. E.
I know. ABCD. ABCD.
If you don't get that reference, too bad.
Mocking my daughter. It was actually brought to my attention by somebody who had seen it on Facebook and reported it to Southwest Airlines.
Southwest Airlines gave us a statement that reads in part, "The post is not indicative of the care, respect, and civility we expect from all of our employees. We have followed up with the employee involved. The employee in question didn't answer our request for comment, and Redford says she's using this experience as a lesson for her daughter."
She asked me, "Mom, why is she laughing at my name?" And I said, "You know, honey, not everybody is nice and not everyone's going to be nice. And, you know, it's unfortunate."
Not everybody is not named ABCDE. Who cares? Why would you name it? Why would you? I don't know. You know what? That's level one. Level one. Level one. People say, don't name your kid ABCDE if you don't want people to comment on it. Yeah. Okay, be a gate agent and just check her ID. Or take her into custody and be like, there's no way that ABCDE is not a terrorist. One way or the other, I don't care. Pick one. Nick Ryder tip, by the way. I'm getting... These level one things are getting really insane. I go up to the bar last night to pay for some drinks. And I look at my wallet because I'm going to pay and I go, whoa. I got a lot of ones in here. Never say that in front of anyone. What's the first thing anyone ever says? They go, oh, you going to the strip club? And then the bartender said the nicest thing ever to me. He said, no, he's coming from the strip club. He earned those. And I go, that's right. Good story. Oh, by the way, Nick Ryder tip. If you are the type that complains about people walking slowly on the sidewalk, or walking slowly in the aisle at the store, or blocking the aisle of the store. Can you guys hear me clicking this screw on the table, by the way? Oh, crap. That was audible this entire time. I got to redo the whole show. Anyway. What makes you annoyed? Oh, these people, they're blocking the aisle. No. Push past them, you pussy. What are you, a little baby? You can't get past an old lady blocking the aisle? Go push past her. If you think she's being inconsiderate, what are you scared of? Being more inconsiderate? No. You got somewhere to be. push past the old lady in the aisle. I grab people's carts. I will move them out of the way. I go, whoop, coming by. I try to be nice, but if it's in the way and I can't get by, I will grab it and I will push it to the side. And the same thing you should do on a sidewalk or just run around them. Like, go, whoop, gotta go. Sometimes you just gotta run down the street. Here's what you do. If you want to get someone past someone slow on the sidewalk, you just walk, make sure that they can see you, and then you look behind yourself or you look to the side or something, you go, oh, and then you start running. And then they'll think that there's something to run from, and they'll start running. And then you'll be charged with inciting a riot or causing panic or giving money to the Islamic State. But cool, it was worth it. Or I'm going to kill this professor, bae. I'm going to bae 7 a.m., professor. All right, this has been News with Nick. Go out and drink some tropical horse washing fluid. My brain just stopped. Like windshield washing fluid. That's what we wanted to say. Thanks for tuning in. Has been the show. Go to the website, newswithnick.com. The chat says yes. The screw clicking is audible. As we know, I ruined the show by clicking my screws together as usual. Goodbye. I don't know where the bumper music went. I lost the tab that had it. I think it's full of Pine Sol now.